Please pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen. So please have a seat. So who in here went to Catholic school? Okay, good. Well, when I was a little girl going to Catholic school, probably like a lot of you, we had to go to confession every week to admit our sins to a priest. And as I have shared before, between all the nuns and my mom, who was a teacher there at my school, I didn't have very many opportunities to go bad. Or maybe I didn't have the creativity. Or most likely, I didn't have the courage to do anything worthy of confessing. So each week I would say the same thing. Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. Blah, blah, blah. I've had evil thoughts. Now, there are a few of you who know another story about me stealing cookies from the nuns' break room, which I probably could have confessed because I did it almost every week, but I think that's more like my, you know, Robin Hood moment of taking from the rich and giving to my poor friends on the playground. And I said that because I didn't want a few people to give me grief later on. Well, just like our collect this morning, I was just thrilled to read it. Keep us both outwardly in our bodies and inwardly in our souls, that we may be defended from all adversities that may happen to our body and from all the evil thoughts which might assault and hurt the soul. Well, at 7 and 8, my evil thoughts were mostly about how stupid my siblings were or how mean my teachers were. By middle school, I was thinking some not-so-nice things about my mom, and then, like so many teenagers, I became critical of myself and envious of others. We can think the most vile and evil thoughts about ourselves and other people, specific individuals and whole categories of people. And these thoughts, they assault and hurt our souls. And if we speak out or we act on these thoughts, we hurt the souls of those around us. Our interior world, what we think and we feel matters. Now you might be thinking, well, no one knows, right? Except God, who is concerned about our hearts and our motivations and our intentions. Well, this morning we had the Ten Commandments 3 times. They are God's rules, but they're more than rules about what we should and shouldn't do or how we should or shouldn't act. These are ways of being, of how to get along with God and how to get along with each other. These are relationship guidelines, and when we mess up how we are with others, it negatively affects us. The Ten Commandments identify the behaviors of the people of God. The first 4 commandments are focused on how we should arrange our thoughts and actions towards God. And we heard this, one God, don't let anyone or anything become more important than that one God. Respect God's holy name and take a day of rest with God, knowing that God loves you. And then the last 6 are all about how to get along with others, respecting parents, and then respecting the lives, relationships, possessions, and reputations of others. So that last commandment, the 10th commandment, is what I want us to consider this morning. Do not covet anything or anyone that belongs to someone else. You know, and for us, coveting is being discontent because of someone else's success or advantage. It's lusting after or begrudging someone of what's theirs and not ours. It's having this inordinate desire without regards for the rights of the other person, to have what they have and to dream and plan about taking it. Well, coveting hurts us and it wounds others. And it is one of those things that will rot us from the inside. You know, when we think ill about ourselves and we have all that negative self-talk, you know, I'm not smart enough, so I'll never get the promotion. Or I'm not good looking, so I'll never find love. When we beat ourselves up in contrast to someone else, or in contrast to an expectation someone told us that we needed to fulfill to be good, that one's loaded, we are setting ourselves up. As long as we keep comparing ourselves to other people, we will be focused on what they have and then be full of resentment that our lives don't have the same thing. And when we do this, we dig away at the joy of God's grace in our own lives. And let me just say this as well, some of us do the opposite. We convince ourselves we are good when we're really doing only enough to look like the person we want other people to see us as. We're like a poser, putting up a false front to look good and justifying ourselves through participating in the world's system instead of God's wisdom. So thinking we are never good enough, and conversely, that we can fake it and trick people and ourselves thinking that we are good enough, well, both are assaults to our souls. And in both situations, we are making the mistake of comparing our lives to others. And this comparison easily becomes envy and coveting. Jesus' anger in the temple relates to those behaviors. He climbs the steps to find the temple more like a marketplace than a house of worship. And Jesus sees into the hearts of those working there, and he finds coveting and posing. He's so angry that he chases out all the animals and turns upside down the tables of the money changers. Now, the temple system relied on both. You know, people came from far away to sacrifice animals to God in the temple in Jerusalem. It was their way to demonstrate a willingness to give back to God some of the good things that God provided for them. And running an effective temple required a way to exchange money from Roman coin into temple currency. So there was a purpose and a value in having the vendors selling small animals. And there needed to be money changers. A lot of us think, oh, it was all about the fact that they were charging too high of an exchange rate. Or maybe the tables had crept in from those outside porticos into the more holy places. Or maybe it was too noisy and chaotic. John's gospel is short on the details. What we do know is that Jesus was angry. And a lot of people, when we read that, we think, oh, he's just angry with the money changers and the animal vendors. But maybe his anger wasn't aimed at them or at the system. Maybe it was aimed at the hearts of those participating in it. You know, those who went about their days doing what looks right, but their internal motivations weren't focused on being in a relationship with God. They were just going through the motions of looking good. And I can just imagine the internal talk. I work at the temple helping with the sacrifices. I'm good. I do make a killing on the fees. Or maybe I do my obligatory sacrifice. Thank goodness I can buy a cheap animal. Stretch my dollar. I'm good. Maybe Jesus was angry about how people had slipped into autopilot, mindlessly going through the process without being intentional or sincere. God's request of how people should be in his temple, how people should live, didn't look like it had been translated into their daily lives. That's what ties our gospel to the Ten Commandments and our colic. We need guidelines for living as people who identify as God's children, as followers of Jesus. We are powerless on our own, and we need God's help to effectively love. Now, we all struggle to integrate fully God's laws and Jesus' teachings from our head knowledge to our heart knowledge to actions of love. And God wants authentic, sincere, and intentional worship from us. And God wants us to integrate our beliefs into all our daily lives, inside and outside of the church. When we catch ourselves doing less than that, when we are overly critical or envious, when we find ourselves thinking evil thoughts about ourselves, or because we want somebody else's stuff or life, we can do something. Maybe we too, like Jesus, need to get angry and turn upside down our thinking or our automatic actions. We can certainly pause and admit we need God to help us. We can pray our colic from this morning for God's protection for our body and from all the evil thoughts that might assault and hurt our souls and the souls of those around us. We need God's help to live as God wants us to live, with authentic, heartfelt love for God, for ourselves, and for our neighbors. You know, coveting or wanting something that God hasn't provided, or something that God hasn't provided yet, distances us from God and the person that we are envious of. And thinking evil thoughts about other people or ourselves, though a pretty good generic confession for a kid, does assault and hurt our own soul. And the soul we aim that nasty thought at, and doubly so when we are the target. When we follow the Ten Commandments and Jesus' summary of the law, loving God and loving our neighbors and ourselves, we declare who we are, God's. Living as a follower of Jesus is not about a set of rules or a specific form of worship. It is so much more than that. It's being in an authentic, intentional, loving relationship with God, with ourselves, and with our neighbors. Amen.